song, is it? Almost none. Aren't there more verses?
that's a good song.
All right, you may be seated. And number 15, we'll never say goodbye in glory. You know, sometimes you have to say goodbye to loved ones. You're in death, or maybe you're parting in distance, and you have to say goodbye, and we'll see you up in glory. I know sometimes when we have special speakers, you almost have to say, well, we'll meet again here, there, or in the air. You know, you say that kind of a thing. Here, there, or in the air. We'll see you again. Because sometimes we're just not going to see each other again till we get to glory. And when we get there, we'll never say goodbye in glory. Let's sing this one, number 15. Jason, start playing.
We say goodbye in parting with loved ones here below. We always hope to meet again as on our way we go. But all our hearts are grieving for those we never meet. We'll say goodbye in sorrow to me and Jesus be. We'll never say goodbye in glory in the morning.
Through the book of Joshua, chapter by chapter, Joshua chapter 7. Joshua chapter 6, of course, is the battle of Jericho. Joshua fought the battle of Jericho, and he won the great victory, as you know. And, of course, Rahab the harlot was saved alive, and everyone that was in her house. And she, of course, being a Gentile, ended up into the line of the line of Christ. And what grace and mercy God showed to her in saving her alive that day and her whole household. And just a beautiful picture of how God's salvation would not only be for the Jews, but would be for all, Jews and Gentiles alike. And He includes us all. We sang this morning, He included me. I'm glad for that. And then we also sang, Whosoever will may come. Whosoever will may come. Salvation is for all. Even in the Old Testament, even though it's primarily about Israel, you do see God's hand of mercy and grace reaching out to the Gentile nations as well. And there's no reason for anyone in the whole world not to know the way of salvation and to receive it and be saved. There's no reason at all for it. Well, we're going to look now in chapter 7 of Joshua, and we're going to see a problem. You know, it just always seems that after a victory, there's problems. We are a people like that. That's just how we are. We get up on a mountaintop, and for some reason our flesh just kind of thinks that it knows how to do it now. And next thing you know, we're headed for a fall. And we're out of fellowship with the Lord. What I'd like to call this is Israel out of fellowship. Israel out of fellowship. You can be in fellowship one day and the very next day out of fellowship. In fact, it's possible in one day to be in fellowship and out of fellowship with the Lord that quickly. In fact, folks, can't it even happen within an hour's time that you're in fellowship with the Lord and an hour later you find yourself out of fellowship with the Lord? And sin will do it, folks. That's what happens. Sin will cause the problem. Look at chapter 6, verse 18 and 19, for there is where the problem in chapter 7 comes. So chapter 6, verse 18 and 19, and ye in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing. This is commandments from Joshua the captain to the camp of Israel about what to be careful of when we conquer Jericho. In any wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed. When ye take of the accursed thing, and make the camp of Israel a curse, and trouble it. But all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. The Lord was going to give them the victory over Jericho, but the spoils of the victory would be the Lord's. And the people were told not to take anything. Everything was going to be considered accursed that was in Jericho. And the people were not to take anything, simply to conquer the city and then take all the spoils to be used for the treasury of the Lord and for the house of the Lord. And so the Lord was going to take the spoils of this victory. And by the way, all victories in Christ Jesus need to be given back to Him as far as praise, honor, and glory for the victory is concerned. We should not take it unto ourselves and think that we deserve it. If the Lord sees fit to give us anything and any blessings, then we just thank Him for that. But we should not think that because we've done this for the Lord that we deserve something back from Him. No, no. If He gives us anything, that's grace, and the grace and mercy and pity of the Lord towards us. Well, chapter 7. Keeping in mind what we just read there. Chapter 7. But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Beth-Aven, on the east side of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, Go up and view the country. Very similarly to the way they conquered Jericho. Go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, Let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai. And make not all the people to labor thither, for they are but few. So there went up thither of the people about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai smote of them about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate even of the Shebarim, and smote them in the going down, wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. What a difference between chapter 6 and chapter 7. Something happened. Israel got out of fellowship with their God. Let's pray. Our Father, help us to learn some lessons about staying in fellowship with the Lord and realizing the awfulness of sin even in our Christian lives. It affects our fellowship with the Lord and our effectiveness for Him. So teach us good things out of Your Word tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Israel out of fellowship. Achan's sin, the reason for failure and being out of fellowship with the Lord. Interesting, the name Achan. And then if you look at the very last verse, verse 26 of the chapter. And they raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. Wherefore the name of that place was called the Valley of Achor unto this day. Many of you might have a center column reference telling you what Achor means. What does it mean? Does it say? Achor equals what? That is trouble. Yep. You know what Achan's name means? Same thing. Achan means trouble. I don't know why. Why would a mother call her child trouble? Wow. But that's what his name means. Trouble. And he was trouble, all right, for the nation of Israel. But what do I see here in verses 1 through 5 as a result of this? Now, obviously, the Lord has not revealed that he is upset with them yet. But it says the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. Now, he already warned them. And we know at this point now that someone has stolen some of that which was considered accursed for anyone to take unto themselves. Because it was consecrated unto the Lord. So basically he took what belonged to the Lord and was going to make it his own. And as a result, the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. And in these verses, though, I know Israel doesn't know this yet. But of course they should have known as soon as they had to flee from the enemy. They should have known. But nevertheless, what I see here is Israel's self-confidence in the midst of being out of fellowship with the Lord. And I just need to say this. Don't try to make spiritual decisions while out of fellowship with the Lord. Notice their self-confidence here. Joshua sent men up to view the country, and the men came back, and they, let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up to smite Ai. Make not all the people labor thither. Why, this is going to be an easy one, in other words. Let's just send a few men up there. You know, when you're out of fellowship, whether you know it or not, whether you're real aware of the fact that you're out of fellowship, one of the things that happens is the flesh comes to the forefront. And we start putting more confidence in our own abilities rather than the Lord. You know you're out of fellowship when you're starting to have overconfidence in the flesh, like they did. Well, they sent just a few men up there, 2,000 or 3,000 men, and they were chased by the enemy, and 36 men gave their life that day as a result of one man's sin. And boy, you can go right back to Genesis and find out what one man's sin did. It plunged the whole human race into corruption and separation from God and no fellowship with God, of course. When God came to talk with Adam and Eve, they hid in the garden there. They hid away from God. They could not have fellowship with the Lord. You see what sin does? And that's what sin did to the whole camp of Israel here. And self-confidence rears its ugly head. Israel acted like as if there could never be anyone in their camp like Achan. Maybe they should have asked themselves the question, why did the Lord even warn us about that? And you know, we've been given many warnings in the Word of God concerning our Christian walk. And by the way, you got to see this as an example of walking in fellowship with the Lord. Remember now, The children of Israel have come out of Egypt through the Passover event, the Red Sea, the wilderness, and they're wandering in the wilderness. And then they came over Jordan and came into the land. It's a picture of being saved, and now going into the land is a picture of the Christian walking and talking with the Lord in his newfound life in Christ. So Israel is now in a position just like the believer is who has been saved, and now he's walking in fellowship with the Lord. You know what? Christians can sin. And when they do, they are out of fellowship with the Lord. And one of the things that takes place right away when Christians sins is, and when they don't confess it right away, when they don't realize they're in sin and they don't confess right away, the flesh begins to think of itself more highly than it ought. And we're told in the Scriptures not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to. And not be puffed up. And not trust in the flesh. We're told to walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So we're to walk with the Lord and not think that it's never possible that I could possibly sin. We need to be very sensitive to the truth that we can sin. And it's possible for us to sin. Go with me to 1 John chapter 1. I really wasn't planning to go here, but I'm just thinking about it right now. Look at 1 John, what it says here. In this first chapter is all about having fellowship with God. And God will not have fellowship with us if we're walking in sin. Just want to show you something here. Verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say, and the pronoun we there would include John, who is a disciple of the Lord, a believer in Jesus Christ, and when he says we there, the recipients of this letter would be included. And certainly, can you not, as a Christian believer, put yourself into that pronoun we as well, and see yourself there? If we who are saved, say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. We're not talking about unsaved people here who are lost in sin and in darkness. We're talking about believers who can sin. And when you sin, believer, you're walking in darkness. You're not in fellowship and in the light with the Lord Jesus Christ and with the Father like you should. Verse 7. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ His Son cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have not, or that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. See the sensitivity to sin that we need to have there? We should never say, "Well, I'm not able to sin. I'm really in good fellowship with the Lord, and sin can never bother me." We deceive ourselves. Verse 9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. See how we need to be sensitive to the truth that we can sin. But we're told here and exhorted here that ye sin not. I'm glad the verse doesn't end there. It says, and if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. So the believer's sins are taken care of by the Lord Jesus Christ. But I tell you what, if we allow sin and entertain sin, we're not going to be in fellowship with the Lord. There is a remedy for it. Amen for that. And we can walk in a continuous fellowship with the Lord as we are sensitive to the truth of what sin can do in our life. And every one of you sitting here tonight, if you're born again, you need to realize how bad sin is and how destructive it is in the Christian's daily walk and life. Notice if you're still there at 1 John chapter 1, verse 4. And these things write we unto you that your joy may be full. And what can take away joy in the Christian's life? It's sin. I tell you what, going back to Joshua chapter 7, what took away Israel's joy? Sin. Sin. It's very similar to what happens in the Christian walk as well, is happening here to the whole congregation of Israel. Israel's acting like as if there could never be anyone like an Achan in their midst. Oh boy. And they were acting in the flesh here in verse 3 when it says, let not all the people go up, for they are but few. They are but few. You know what? It's often the little things that give us most of our problems and most of our troubles. You know, sometimes we can look at some big sin and say, oh, I'd never have a problem with that. And it's usually not that that is our problem. It's the little one. It's the little things that come up into our life. And that's why in the book of Ephesians, in the book of Colossians, it tells us about the little things. Be slow to anger, slow to wrath. Be loving and kind one to another. Temperate. Those seem like little things, right? Malice, let no malice be in you. And no murmuring and no complaining. Those are like little things. But it's those little things that are going to give us the biggest problem and the biggest trouble. Do you realize what it was when this whole thing is done? Look at verse 21 when Achan confesses here, when I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment. This is what was causing the trouble. A Babylonish garment and 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight. Then I coveted them and took them. And behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent and the silver under it. You know, in comparison to everything that they took from Jericho, this was probably a tiny amount. And why doesn't the Lord just overlook? Why is the Lord so concerned about this little item? It wasn't, you know, to the Lord it wasn't how much did he take and how much am I missing. The Lord didn't take inventory that day. He said, oh, hey, someone took a penny. That's not what concerned him. What concerns the Lord is the heart. The things that were being thought of here. That this is no big deal. I believe that as God from heaven looks down on this whole scene, because it might be hard for us to say, boy, God is pretty harsh here. Pretty harsh. He lets 36 men die, and we know what's going to happen to Achan and his family. The whole family's going to be brought together, and the people of Israel are going to stone them to death. But you know, when God looks down on this, he sees sin going on. And I believe he also sees his son having to pay the price for that sin. And now it doesn't seem to be such a small matter anymore. Because this is an attack against the holiness of God is what this is. That's what sin is. Sin to God is not a small matter. And so they started to work in the flesh, self-confidence. And I would say a church cannot be blessed when in the same condition. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. A church cannot be blessed when it's in the same situation or condition as Israel was here after the battle of Jericho. In 1 Corinthians 5, it is reported commonly that there is fornication among you. And such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. And ye are puffed up. Almost like, we can only need 2,000-3,000 men. That's all we need. Yeah. That he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. For I verily, as absent in body, but present in spirit, have judged already, as though I were present, concerning him that hath so done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together in my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such an one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little, doesn't say a lot, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. And on he goes with the passage. A church cannot be blessed when in the same condition of allowing sin to go on. So every Christian needs to be sensitive to sin. And when we sin, we need to confess it right away. And none of us should sit around and say, well, I don't need to do that. That you've deceived yourself. We need to confess our sin and confess it daily. And it's because we sin daily. I wish it weren't true. I wish I could report that, well, we probably haven't had anybody here sin for about 3 months. Wouldn't it be great if I could say that with accuracy? Even if we could avoid it for 3 months, it still would be bad. After 3 months, we would sin. It still would be bad. He said, boy, preacher, you're not satisfied. You know, I'm just a voice. I'm just a preacher. And I have to say, we need to see this thing through God's eyes. We need to kind of look down at this whole matter through God's eyes. And what does sin do to us? When you sin in a day's time, and I guess I'd have to just to say that that's probably how often it is, if not often through a day's time, that we need to confess our sin so that we can have that sin cleansed by the blood of Christ. Oh, the blood of Christ is not just there to save us from sin, but to continue on after we've been saved, to keep on cleansing us, to keep us in fellowship with the Lord. I tell you what, it's the blood of Jesus Christ that not only saves you the day you're saved so that you can say, amen, I'm born again, but 10 years later, that blood is still sufficient and able to keep on cleansing you so that you can continue to say, 5 years later, I'm still saved. I'm going to heaven. Why? Because the blood shed there at Calvary continues on. And by the way, it has an eternal quality to it. Go with me to Revelation chapter 5. I really wasn't planning to look at this one either, but let's look at it. Revelation chapter 5 and verse 9. When that sealed book is handed to Jesus Christ, and everybody in heaven, including yourself, I believe, is being seen here. In Revelation chapter 5, verse 9, and they sung a new song saying, Thou art worthy, and it's the Lamb they're talking to here, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Wow. Isn't that something? It's the blood still sung about even after we're all up there in heaven. We're still going to sing about the blood. We're never going to get done singing about the power of the blood. You know, so when your pastor, sometimes we sing that song, There's Power in the Blood. You know, he says, all right, let's sing it 2 times, power, power. Now let's do it quadruple, power, 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 power. I know some, well, I don't know why we have to fool around with a song like that. You know what? We better just rejoice in the power in the blood. It's going to be something we're going to do forever. We're never going to forget what it costs to save us and to keep us saved. That blood is going to be in heaven on the mercy seat there. And I don't quite understand all that either. It's a spiritual thing. But that blood's going to be there on that mercy seat for all eternity. If it should ever lose its power, we would have to be cast out of heaven and thrown into the lake of fire with all the rest. We will constantly, throughout all eternity, praise God from whom all blessings flow. Right? We're going to have to do that. We'll sing Wounded for Me. Or similar songs. I don't know what the songs will be like up in heaven. Some of them are really nice down here. You know, they really are encouraging. I love some of the songs that we sing down here, but I think that we're going to learn some new songs. I know it. We just read there. It says, and they sung a new song. They sung a new song. Can you just imagine what the music's going to be like up there in heaven? This morning we had visitors out. And one of the things the visitor said was, I enjoyed the music. He says, in our church, it seems to be so slow. The music, so slow. I said, well, you know, we have something to sing about. Because it's in our hearts. And we just want to sing about it. And he had to shake his head. Yep. That's good testimony, you know what? And someday in heaven, we're going to sing some songs we've never heard. We try to learn new songs, and boys say, oh boy, this is tough. We don't know that song. Wait till you get to heaven. We're going to have to learn some new songs up there in heaven. And it won't take long to learn them. And they're going to be perfect music, perfect harmony, perfect rhythm. Everything's just going to be perfect, and we're just going to enter right into it and sing. Wow, what a day. Oh, I'm way off now. Let's get back to what we were doing here. The church cannot be blessed when we're in the same condition. We need to be sensitive to sin. Well, when failure comes, verse 5, look how it ends there. 36 men die. They're driven back. They're chased from the gate by the people in that city. You could just almost hear the words in the hearts and minds of the Israelites as they run away. Well, I thought the Lord was with us. I thought He was going to give us this land as a possession. What's going on? How come we're running from them? How are we ever going to take this land? You know, on they go, running away. And then it ends with, in verse 5, wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. You know, the heart there is all their expectations. They just came off a great victory in Jericho. Their expectations were probably really high. It's going to be easy. Let's go and just wipe out AI, take that. And not only that, we're going to be allowed to take everything out of AI for ourselves. Honey, we're going to be rich in a day or two. Boy, their hearts melted. Became as water. They had no strength. They had no courage. Notice their hearts now like the people of Jericho, chapter 2, verse 11. Go back to chapter 2, verse 11. And as soon as we had heard these things, our heart did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man. This is Rahab's telling the spies what the condition of the city is. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you, for the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. You know, the people of Jericho and in the land, for that sake, their hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man as they heard the news of this great congregation of people whose God brought them through the Red Sea and provided for them in the wilderness and brought them through on dry land through the Jordan River. And now they're coming to take our cities. Their hearts did melt and they had no more courage. That's the lost people of the world were like that. Tell you what, Christian. When we allow sin in our lives, we end up in the same condition as the lost. Sin is bad. Sin is bad. And we as Christians, when we sin, we need to admit that we have sinned and repent and confess it to the Lord. And when we do that, He washes and restores fellowship with us. And we can then have victory again. But until we do, we'll have no courage to be able to stand up in this world and stand for the Lord and do what is right. Christians afraid today because of unconfessed sin. A lot of times churches are weak because of unconfessed sin in the lives of believers. Oh, we need to confess. You see, are you talking to us about that? Yes, amen. This is the church. This is where we come. This is where we preach the word, isn't it? And you came to hear the word of God preached. He said, well, I don't know if you're preaching the word of God. Well, I think I am. Think I'm pretty close to what it is here. And if you're here listening, guess what? You and me need to be sensitive to sin. And when we sin, confess it. Admit it. Otherwise, our hearts are going to melt, become as water. We'll have no courage to stand for the Lord. And they can't seem to operate at all for the Lord right now in the condition they're in. They're beat. Are you beat tonight? Are you beaten down? No strength, no courage? Then the first place you ought to look for a remedy. Well, I don't know. I think it's some of the others. Wait a minute. Before you start trying to find blaming on somebody else, let's take a good look in our mirrors and look at ourselves, look at our heart. Lord, is it me? You know, that's where we ought to start every time there's trouble. Every time there's a problem. We ought to say, Lord, is it me? Show me. Like the psalmist, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and see if there be any wicked way in me. That ought to be the desire of a heart. And that's where we need to start, right there. You know, don't go home and, you know, you've lost your courage and things aren't going right. Well, I don't know. Maybe it's the preacher. Yeah, very well, it could be. Well, I don't know. That lady on the other side of the aisle over there, she doesn't like me and she doesn't say nice things to me. She's supposed to be a Christian. You know, we try to blame everything else. If I had more money, things would be smooth. Wait a minute. You know, first thing we ought to ask is, Lord, is there anything between you and me? How about that song, Nothing Between My Soul and the Savior? Nothing to tear us apart and ruin our fellowship. That's where we ought to start. When we start questioning and our hearts melt and we lose our courage and we're not sure that I really ought to take a stand and how about this whole thing? Maybe I ought to just stop going to church kind of thing. You know, the whole thing that we go through. We almost all go through that, don't we? I'll tell you what, I've quit this ministry, I can't even tell you how many times over the 33 years. You'd be amazed, probably. But, you know, get myself right with God, confess some sin. Next thing you know, I can't wait to get back in the pulpit, preach again, you know? That's how we are. So, we need to be really sensitive to sin. And verse 6, back in Joshua chapter 7. Amen for a man of God like this. And Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord under the eventide. He and the elders of Israel and put dust upon their heads. For those of you who were here on Wednesday night, the elders of Israel, remember those 70? That God said, all right, Moses, you can't take care of it all yourself. Here's 70 men chosen out from the congregation of Israel. They'll help you. They were probably all there with Joshua, because that's not too far removed in time here. They're all on their faces before the Lord. Amen! Guess what? That's where we need to get. We need to be like that every day. We need to start the day out like that. And when sin happens, we need to do it right then and there. Before the Lord. And notice it was before the ark of the Lord. They didn't have their tabernacle set up probably. They were in the midst of going to battle here. And there's the ark of the Lord. Let's get down in front of the ark of the Lord until eventide. He and the elders of Israel put dust upon their heads. I wonder, have you ever had long periods of time before the Lord? You ever lay awake all night concerned about things of the Lord, about sin, about things going on that aren't right? How about in other people's lives? Laying awake there saying, oh Lord, help so-and-so, help that situation, and restore them, and help them to be sensitive to sin, help me to be sensitive to sin. You ever have long periods of time with the Lord like that? Verse 7, and Joshua said, alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us? Question. Would to God we had been content and dwelt on the other side Jordan. You know, you start saying things you know that just aren't right. This isn't right. God said, Joshua, you go and conquer the land. I'm going to be with you. I'll not leave you. Now he's saying, we'd been better off staying on the other side, Lord. You see, we don't talk right even when we allow sin in the camp. We don't even talk right with the Lord. Verse 8, O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turneth their backs before their enemies? Yeah, that's really tough. What do you say? Our God's not strong enough. You know, it's not God that's the problem here. But we want to blame God right away when things don't go right. Instead of looking at ourselves and saying, Lord, is it me? Is it me? Oh, King David was hiding his sin with Bathsheba. And there was trouble. Instead of saying, it is me. Remember, they gave him the story of someone else who took the sheep from someone else to give to the person visiting his house. Oh, how mad he got. And the prophet had to say, David, it's you. You've stolen someone else's wife. You're the one. Oh, yeah, is it me? Could I be the problem? Oh, yes. You're the problem, David. You're the problem, Christian. It's not the Lord. Verse 9, for the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it. It's interesting how quickly the world hears about the Christian's sin. Isn't that something? You know, let the world sin. Nobody could care less about it. Let a Christian slip up. It's like as if it made front page news, you know. What are you going to say when they hear of it? And shall environ us around and cut off our name from the earth. And what wilt thou do unto thy great name? Amen, though. Because in the middle of this, Joshua did have a concern for the reputation of his God. And that's how sensitive we ought to be towards sin. Now, I'm not going to go any further than this. Don't think, oh boy, he's got the whole rest of the chapter to do tonight. I'm done. But isn't it something what sin does? And we need to be sensitive to what sin does, not only to us, folks, but what does it do to the Lord and His cause, His purpose, His plan, His Son, who hung out there on that cross for our sin in front of the whole world. And here we are, not sensitive to sin in our own life, for which He already paid for and died for and is going to continue to keep us saved, even though we do this sin. I mean, what does this do to the cause of Christ, to the name of Christ? We need to be sensitive to it. We need to repent, be right with God for His name's sake. And what wilt thou do unto thy great name? I've underlined that verse in my Bible. In fact, a whole bunch of these verses right here. And cut off our name from the earth. And what wilt thou do unto thy great name? Notice the next verse says, and the Lord said. Joshua is in the right position for the Lord to give the answer. Here's what the problem is, Joshua. But we'll pick up with that next time we get together here. But oh, the sensitivity to sin. That's what I believe we need to see as Christians here tonight. All of us sitting here tonight who know the Lord and name the name of Christ and say, I'm saved, I'm born again, I know the Lord is my Savior. You know what? When we sin, we need to confess that right away. Don't play around with sin. Don't entertain sin. Don't think that somehow it's not that big of a matter. You know, when the doctors told me that they see a little lump in there, you know what my thought was? Get it out. Get it out. And when the doctor came by and said, you know, Gary, there's a spot on your colon there, and I could see his lips forming it. We really should, and I stop. You know, I interject, get it out. get it out. Because if you don't get it out, it's going to kill me. Although it seemed like the way they got it out, what I had to end up with almost killed me too. But I'm still alive. I'm still here. We had to get it out, see? The good type of sin. Cancer. The good type of sin. Oh, don't entertain it. Don't fool around with it. Well, doctor, I think we'll just leave that in there for a few more years and see. Oh, boy. Oh, no. Get it out. Get it out of there. That's what you got to do spiritually. Every day. And not a single one of us, including myself, should say, "Ah, I'm not that bad." We should say, "Oh, yes. I'm a sinner." And we need to confess our sin. And He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And these things write we unto you that your joy may be full. You want to be happy in Jesus? Keep short accounts with Him, all right? Don't let them pile up. Keep short accounts. You sin, you understand it, see it, let's get it out. Let's take it out. And you have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation or the satisfaction that you need. Our Father, help us. Oh, help us, Lord, to deal with sin right away and not entertain it. We can see what it did to Israel, a congregation out there in Ai, thinking everything was fine. Oh, they'd take care of it. Oh, but a little bit of sin was there. And it caused trouble for the whole camp. Help us to be sensitive with sin in our life. For it will affect not only us, it'll affect you, and it will affect others around us. Help us to be sensitive to it. And thus then confess and be clean. And enjoy the fellowship of the Lord. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, folks, for listening in. Let's go in the power of the Lord. Amen. You're dismissed.